The fifth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians, had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see this crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Each week in our prayers, you hear a list of people. These are the ones who we have been asked to hold in prayer, prayers for healing from sickness, prayers for wholeness in mind or spirit, or for bodies that are just wearing out, prayers for safekeeping. And you may do a similar thing in your prayer life. I have a practice of, in the morning, sitting down and actually writing out my prayer list, naming those people or places that are especially in need of God's healing, God's love, God's mercy. And in that way, we are like Jairus, coming to God on behalf of another. Not necessarily a beloved daughter, perhaps a parent, a friend, someone in our community, even a stranger whose story we read on Facebook or the news or we heard about through a conversation. Now, this kind of prayer is called intercessory prayer. Literally, where you place yourself between a person and God, you intercede between the two. It's the equivalent of seeing someone going down in a crowd, running over to them and yelling for help, calling attention to their plight. And it's a kind of prayer that we can all do, a way of loving our neighbor regardless of who they are or where they are. And it's a practice that benefits the one whom we pray for, but also can benefit ourselves, and not just because it makes us mindful of others. Suzanne Anderson, who lives in Colorado, shared in her blog that the act of sharing a prayer concern about her mother, who lived in Florida and had fallen and fractured her hip, she really didn't know any more than that, that sharing that prayer petition was not only an asking for the help of her congregation in prayer for someone else, but also an asking for prayer for herself. And in doing that, she realized why God encourages us to meet as communities and to pray for one another, to share our burdens and our choices, so that it's never too much for one person to bear. And it's why I wish more people would be open to that kind of prayer, to sharing their need for their own prayers, but also the prayers of those whom they love. It's a gift, not only for the one prayed for, but to those who surround them as well. Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, a well-educated, influential man of prominence, bears his pain, anguish, and desperation, not just to Jesus, but to this crowd pressing in upon him. All the things that had defined him up to that moment are pushed aside for the one who matters most, his beloved daughter. And Jesus responds. Surrounded by the crowd, this cacophony of cries for his attention, to heal, to touch, to teach, Jesus responds to the man's request and his trust. If you but lay your hands on her, Jairus says, she will be delivered out of danger, pulled back from the precipice of death upon which she teeters, and she will live. And then as Jesus moves through the throng, he encounters another woman in need. She's like many who come to Jesus along the way, a remarkable woman in her own right. Despite 12 years of suffering from a flow of blood, despite making herself financially destitute, spending all she had on health care that didn't work, but rather caused her more suffering, despite all of this, she pursues healing. Persistently. She did her research. She heard about Jesus, convinced that if she but touched his clothes, she would be made well. And so this woman of suffering fought through the crowd to get to Jesus, just as Jairus did. She reached out. She touched the fringe of his cloak, the merest thing attached to Jesus, and the healing power came out of him like a zap of static electricity, an exchange that both she and Jesus felt, and she was healed. These are the ones who come to Jesus on their own. This is us, asking for what we need in our prayers, for that job, for peace, for understanding, for reconciliation, for healing, for help on that test. Pursuing Jesus as our hope. And even though the exchange is fleeting, the crowd is great pressing in upon him, Jesus wants the relationship. Who touched me? And then she too throws herself at Jesus' feet and confesses what happened. And Jesus confirms what the active ingredient was in her healing. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. And then we return to the story that brought us here, a child on the precipice of death, and the word no one wants to hear, she's dead. But Jesus hears the understanding of the world, it's too late, and tells Jairus, do not fear, only believe. Do not let fear gain a foothold, but only believe. Trust in what brought you to me in the first place. Jesus hurries to that place, brushes past the ones who cannot believe that Jesus can restore this child, comes into where she lay, takes her by the hand, and calls her to arise. And she does. Jesus calls her from death into life. Now, the author of Mark ties these two women together, not just with this story within a story, but also verbally. Both are called daughter. The child is 12, just coming into her majority. The persistent woman has suffered for 12 years. And they're also tied by what their afflictions have done. They've threatened community, family, relationship, faith. They've destroyed or put at risk their social lives, threatened all that makes life worth living. For the woman, her flow of blood would have prevented her from attending to her religious obligations according to Jewish law. It would have forced her to keep away from people, as even contact with her would have done the same to them. Forced her away from the support of family and friends, kept her from her faith, all comfort of community stripped away. And for the child and her family, her sickness threatens the ultimate rupture of relationship through her death, something that affects not only her, but all in her family, and certainly through her father, the whole community. And in their encounter with Christ, they find both healing and restoration. Through their faith and the faith of those around them, they find life. Life fuller and more abundant. Life in relationship with others, reconciled to them. And so, friends, if you are in need of this kind of healing, if you know someone who is, it is yours. Because we know this about Jesus from this story and so many others, his desire to heal, his desire to restore, his desire to bring to life, but also to know you, to be in relationship with you. Why? Well, that's what his daddy does. From the beginning, God's desire is to be in relationship with us, God's beloved creation. God's desire is life for us, for all of us, a life fuller and more abundant with God than whatever we can try to put together on our own. And this life, this relationship happens in many ways, but certainly through the gift of prayer. Conversation with God, both speaking and listening. It comes through the gift of Scripture. The story of God's pursuit of God's people, a means by which the Holy Spirit can blow into your life. And it comes through our own actions and words, the embodiment of this desire of God for healing for all people, for restoration of relationship, for the growth of that first gift of the Holy Spirit, love. Unbounded, overwhelming love. And so I invite you this day to come to another visible sign of the love God has for us in the world. Come to the table and receive the very body and blood of Christ. A meal given for the forgiveness of sins, for the mending of broken souls, for reconciliation both with God and for one another. For being made whole. For healing. I still carry in my memory the image of a woman from my home church coming up for communion, St. Mark's Lutheran in Charlotte, North Carolina, every time she came, just beaming. I carry in my memory countless conversations with believers who have talked about their own encounters with this meal with Christ present here, where they have felt in their bodies its healing work. A physical change that melts worries away, where attitudes were changed, where barriers were broken, where things were finally let go. And they had life, fuller and more abundant. So come to this meal. Come to Jesus in prayer and supplication, either for yourself, as the woman did, or for others, as Jairus did. Come and experience for yourself that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, that God's mercies never come to an end. Come and experience that God in Christ really is the healer of our every ill. Come.